Welcome back to today's podcast, everybody. I'm super stoked. I got a tandem today, Mimi and Dr. Nathan Riley. Mimi and Chase have an amazing podcast who had Tosh and I on a while ago, maybe a little over a year ago. I'll link to that in the show notes. Was great getting to hang with them from the Organifi team. And Mimi has been somebody that's really been on the forefront of women's health, in particular around HPV, and just understanding, you know, what are the pros and cons of Western medicine's approach to the female body. And Dr. Nathan Riley, the holistic OBGYN, has been on this podcast a number of times. A very dear friend of mine was Paul Check's OBGYN for his second child, Zoe, or most recent child, Zoe. He has three. Just a phenomenal human being who has studied deep dive Rudolf Steiner, deep dive Paul Check's work, a wealth of knowledge, and has a phenomenal podcast as well, the Holistic OBGYN show that I've been on, my wife has been on. Link to those in the show notes if you guys want to deep dive their stuff more. The topic of today is something that was curious to me because it is highly common. It's not common in my world because I don't see regular doctors. I stopped seeing regular doctors years ago when I got in the UFC and started working with more holistic approach to medicine, alternative medicine, functional medicine, things like that. And I didn't like the general practitioner approach to it. I had really bad experience with a naturopath when I was in college who gave me whatever the fuck I wanted. Vicodin, Xanax, Valium. I talked about that on the podcast before. So the best of Western medicine was a far cry from what I was expecting. So the best of Western medicine was a far cry from what I was hoping for. And as we know now, Rob Wolf puts it best, it's a sick care system. It's not a healthcare system. The podcast I did with Kaylee Means really deep dives this. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. If you missed that, it's one of my all-time favorites of the year as we're getting ready to close out. You'll appreciate this episode big time because even if you're a dude, if you have a daughter, if you have a wife or a girlfriend, or if you're dating especially, it's a big part of the conversation. And it's a bigger part of the conversation than I at first realized, but it's an important one. So I hope you guys enjoy this. There are many ways you can support this podcast. Talk Full Temple Reset, and then we'll dive into sponsors. We are extending the window for Full Temple Reset. So we haven't sold out yet. It is a very small group of 30 people that we're trying to get together at our farm in Lockhart at Gardeners of Eden. And we're going to be deep diving all things health and wellness from a practice standpoint, meaning Eric Godsey and I are going to be fasting with you guys. We're doing the fasting mimicking diet, optional blood work before. If we really want to see and track the change that takes place metabolically, we can do that. And the numbers don't lie. Then the numbers will last 6 to 12 months of improved metabolic flexibility, which improves immune function, inflammation, you name it. We've had hundreds of episodes on this podcast have revolved around that. Not just guys like Paul Saladino or the folks at NutriSense, CGM company, you know, just absolute wizards in their field, but also, you know, Mark Sisson, Rob Wolf, and Paul Check. I mean, any health and wellness expert is really trying to bring people back into metabolic flexibility. And we're able to do that really quickly at Full Temple Reset and prove it. And the science is great on that. Fasting mimicking diet developed by Dr. Walter Longo is not new, and it is well studied and well documented how long those benefits last. And we get to participate in our own version of that alongside sauna and ice bath every single day, alongside mobility work every single day, opening up the body, really building momentum into the daily habits that we want to carry with us the whole year in 2024. So this will be end of January, the 24th through the 28th. I bring Eric Godsey along because a Full Temple Reset is not just the body, it's the mind and the psyche and the spirit. And Godsey hammers Jungian psychology, symbology, dream work, all sorts of great shit, internal family systems, and really gives a reframe to how you view the world and how you view yourself and your role in it. And that's what true empowerment is. You know, it's the ability to say, I got the fucking steering wheel in my hands and I've had it the whole time and I decide where I go. So we reset the body, we reset the mind. And at the end, we've got a sound healing that is fucking incredible. And trust me when I say, when you're doing this while you're fasted, you're already in an altered state of consciousness. But this on the final day before we feast is such an important piece to the equation. And I've had whole episodes on sound, about sound frequencies and all that, sound theory and music theory and what's proven there scientifically, you know, with regard to opening up the chakra systems, the body itself, and moving energy. I couldn't be happier with this program. That's why I can't wait to do it. Every single year I get excited to do it with you guys. I get excited to really meet and really dive deep with 30 people for 5 days. You know, we were with each other all day long for 5 days. We'll link to it in the show notes, fitforservice.com/pages/full-temple-reset. Look for it at the top in the show notes. It'll be right there. Just one click it, sign up. I hope to see you guys there and we can take the deep dive together. And finally, support our sponsors. These guys make this show possible. I absolutely love them. I've handpicked them all. If I haven't handpicked them, my team has sought them out and I've done some rigorous testing to make sure. But everyone here today is somebody that I truly love and enjoy. PaleoValley.com is the website. Use code Kyle for 15% off everything in the store. I have loved their bone broth protein since the moment they came out with it. You know, we talk about the differences between Paleo Valley as a company and a lot of other companies is from the bottom up. They're only using the best sourced meat, the most 100% grass-fed and finished. Regenerative animals. These guys are about the industry. They're about changing the way we farm, and they're supporting farmers that to participate in that farming in the same way in regenerative agriculture. If you see a movie like Kiss the Ground or the follow-up to that Common Ground, Paleo Valley is a part of that movement, and they're supporting everyone that's in that movement. So I love putting my money where my mouth is. When you they say at the end of Food Inc., you vote with your dollar. And I love supporting companies like this that I know are literally changing an entire food system, but not just that, the environment itself is benefiting. When we understand regenerative agriculture, we understand we're saving the earth and all the carbon emission shit you want to get into that rabbit hole. 500 years, you can sequester carbon. Read The Soil Will Save Us. 500 years, you can sequester carbon with regenerative agriculture. And where does that carbon go? It goes into our food. It goes into the grass that the ruminant animals eat that then become our food. However you look at that, there's a full cycle here. Sacred Cow, another great one. Diane Rogers had her on and Rob Wolf at different times. Phenomenal documentary, phenomenal book that deep dives all this stuff. And this company is about that. PaleoValley.com is absolutely incredible. They have a ton of amazing supplements and the best snacks on the planet. Their bone broth protein, as I said, I like the chocolate. The unflavored's excellent. If you want to do that in a shake, like we'll do berries and kefir and a bunch of other goodies, unflavored's perfect for that. And it'll thicken it up. It's really nice. You know, makes it gelatinous and helps you to get, on a hot summer day, I'm not doing hot bone broth. Let's put it that way. But on cold nights, I'll have this chocolate bone broth. I'll warm up a little raw milk and whisk it with a hand whisker. And that is the kids' chocolate milk. And it's their absolute favorite thing. They demand it every single fucking night. Like there's nothing better than that. Knowing that I'm putting the best foods in their body that's coming from bone broth, not from hides and other shit where they're only going to get a couple types of collagen, but the bone marrow, all the vitamins and nutrients that you find in that, they're getting that. They're getting access to that and with nothing bad. There's nothing bad in it. That's the other thing that I love is I don't have to worry. When I look at paleovalley.com, I don't have to wonder what hidden ingredient is in there or sure, the meat's fine, but then you added all these other things to it. Like, no, everything they put in there is awesome and you can trust that. I trust that with my kids' lives and what I put in their body matters just as much, if not more than what I put in my body. And I love the fact that I can get anything I want from Paleo Valley and I approve it for my kids. I approve it for you guys. I approve it for everybody. Check it out, paleovalley.com. It's PaleoValley.com. Use code Kyle, that's K-Y-L-E, for 15% off everything in the store. Love the bone broth protein. Love the meat sticks. The maple bacon will change your life. If you're into pork, it is fucking outstanding. We've had Mossel Denton on this podcast multiple times. He's one of my favorite human beings. And sacred hunting is a thing that he's really taken a deep dive into. He's guided over 60 hunts in the last 3 years. He's teaching people, you know, the basics of how to track, stalk, kill, and field dress wild game animals. And he's doing something unique and he's adding plant medicine ritual and Native American components like a sweat lodge that makes this a very real life rite of passage. And as I mentioned before, he tutored under Dr. Will Tagle, who was a PhD in psychology, a medicine man in his own right, a Native American elder who recently passed away in Wimberley, author of, I think, 8 different books. Walking with Bears was one of my all-time favorites. The Mother Tongue, another fantastic book from him. Dr. Will Tagle mentored Monsel for 6 years. And so I can really see that medicine coming through him as he guides. He has an incredible ability to listen to the land, but there are practices that we learn in that you don't learn on regular hunts. And I take that with me on every single hunt that I'm a part of. And I recently got to hunt out in January for elk with a different guide who happens to be just as awesome as Monsel. And we were, you know, sharing ideas and different things like that. But for a lot of people that don't have any idea on where do I start, what do I do, sign up for sacredhunting.com. mention my name, you're going to get $250 off your entire trip. There's only 6 spots available on each hunt. So you fill out a 2-minute application, set up an exploratory call. You're going to get to meet these other people and you're going to gain friendships that last a lifetime. Eric Vaughn, Mike Salemi, Nathan Smith. These are guys that are my A1 homies that I got to really deep dive. I might have known a couple of them before the hunt, but I really got to know them on the hunt. It is a ceremony in and of itself, and it will change your life. And if you're a lady or you have a lady and you're like, well, how do I fit in on that? They're doing all women's hunts right now. My wife's going to be on one in early February this year, and I'm super stoked. Super stoked for that. So you're going to meet people that you actually care about and want to stay friends with for the rest of your life. You're going to go through a challenging and unique experience that only hunting can give you, and you're going to learn every in and out of how to pay your respects, how to work with the medicine teachers of that land and ask for permission and really just have one of the greatest learning experiences of your life that will change your life. Visit www.sacredhunting.com. That's SACREDHUNTING.com to learn more. And just mention my name in there and you'll get $250 off your entire trip. We are also brought to you today by Lucy.co, LUCY.co. Remember to use code KKP at checkout. You're going to get 20% off every order applicable to all products at Lucy.co. The government is banning vapes. The government's reducing the amount of nicotine in cigarettes. There's never been a better time to give Lucy a try. There's great flavors, multiple strengths. It's the only nicotine pouch with a capsule inside that keeps it fresh. Look, we're all adults here. I know some of us choose to use nicotine to relax, focus, or just unwind after a long day. Lucy is a modern oral nicotine company that makes nicotine gum, lozenges, and pouches for adults who are looking for the best, most responsible way to consume their nicotine. We're closing in at the end of the year here. Why not finish it out by switching to a new nicotine product that you can feel good about? That's right. Don't wait till New Year's resolutions to start making good habits a daily. Do it right now. If you enjoy using nicotine, you should definitely check out Lucy's products at lucy.co. That is L-U-C-Y.co and use promo code KKP at checkout. And then also I have to read, must read verbatim. Also, I have to read this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Remember, if you're interested in a better way to use nicotine, visit lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code KKP. Love these guys. Nicotine is absolutely fantastic as a nootropic. It gives you a nice little bump of energy. But the window's very short. So as I've stated many times on this podcast, it's my favorite thing to do before bed. If I need to stay up and study, if I want to listen to Audible and actually want to retain information, I do that with nicotine and it doesn't keep me up all night. I can throw in a pouch at 9 and by 10 o'clock, I'm already in the sheets and I'm ready to fall asleep. Check it out. Lucy.co, KKP at checkout for 20% off and you're going to be happy. We're also brought to you today, last but not least, by the longest standing homies in the game, Organifi.com/KKP. That is Organifi.com/KKP. Use code KKP for 20% off. Organifi.com/KKP. Grab a sunrise to sunset kit to be covered with red, green, and gold with 20% off using code KKP. Sunrise to sunset kit is the game changer that really lets you know what these guys are all about. I've stated many times that when you buy one of their products, you're not just buying a supplement. You're buying a series of supplements that have been combined in a unique and novel way to create a synergistic effect you're not going to find anywhere else. The green has clinical dose of ashwagandha, moringa leaf, and a whole host of other goodies that actually bring your body into a more balanced state of being. I absolutely love it. If I'm too caffeinated, I'll take green and it balances me out. Ashwagandha is perfect for that as an adaptogen and Ayurvedic herb used for thousands of years. The red is actually incredible for increasing blood flow, nitric oxide to the body and the brain, and body and brain, meaning muscles, brain, and the, you know, in between the legs muscles, because that's important. Nitric oxide is necessary for that. So you're taking the red pre-bed, pre-workout, pre-podcast, pre-studying, pre-anything that requires oxygen to the brain, pre-cardio. You're going to love it. It's an excellent pre-workout. The gold is awesome. When I want to turn down my high, you know, type A shit from being gone all day at work and I need to relax and switch gears before I see the kids, the gold is an excellent way to do that. And same with the kids too. It's got a whopper of lemon balm extract, which won't make you fall asleep, but it's just going to say, ah, here we go. Now I get to relax. I love having the gold with a good amount of fat. So we'll mix that with canned coconut cream warmed up or a little bit of raw milk warmed up. It tastes phenomenal. Everyone in the family loves it. Drew Canole is the Organifi founder. He's been on this podcast 2 or 3 times. He's incredible. Everyone that's a part of this company, I absolutely love. And I mean that thoroughly. There's I've had the fortune of meeting the Organifi crew multiple times out at Paul Checks and in different events. And everyone is doing really cool shit. Everyone's in shape. Everyone looks awesome. They're all sexy. And it's just like, wow, this is a fucking unique thing that you guys have built here. But you can tell that they're really about it. They're about the lifestyle. They're about taking care of themselves from the inside out and then letting that lead by example. You know, a lot of people in the supplement game or any health and wellness game that don't necessarily walk the walk. And it's really impressive to see that anyone that I've met from Organifi does walk the walk. They are the living embodiment of health and wellness and happiness. And doesn't mean they don't go through shit like we all do. It just means that they make the right decisions for themselves, and you can see it. It's quite apparent. So much love to those guys. Another one that I really love is the product they created with Mind Pump. That's the pre-workout. And then last but not least, their Shilajit gummies are fire. It's probably the most easiest way I've ever consumed Shilajit. Shilajit is normally a total pain in the ass to get in. It's sticky, it gets everywhere, gets in your fingers, on your clothes. The gummies are phenomenal. You'll have no stains on the teeth. So I think vanilla cardamom's a delicious flavor. I just suck on them to let that Shilajit just titrate in, giving me minerals that I'm normally not going to get anywhere else. Check it all out, Organifi.com/KKP. And without further ado, Mimi and Nathan.
Yeah, you jogged my brain and got me back to where we were before all this. I think about a month ago or so, you guys hit me up to come on the podcast. I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. I like two former guests in different, you know, kind of positions and teaming up to do really cool things. Dr. Nathan Riley, I don't know if this is your third or fourth time on the podcast.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
I think I was on your podcast. Tosh and I came on your podcast and your partners. Is that right, Mimi?
Yeah. Chase and I came. We interviewed you at Aubrey's. And that was just a blast. That was like one of our favorite conversations ever. It was just, it's just so fun to sit down in the presence of people that you admire and learn from them and have fun. And it was a blast with you guys.
Well, I loved it. I think I got to meet you guys both at Paul Check's mandala workshop, and then, you know, like just loved your energy, loved getting to hang with you guys. But it's much, much deeper on a deep dive podcast, especially when you guys are coming from the relationship background and actually have really worthwhile questions for us. It was fucking cool. It got us thinking quite a bit. And I always like that, the anything that brings me through memory lane, because we're now, it's our 13th year together. Not quite up to Uncle Doctor's level there, but 13 years of living together is the long haul. And it's cool to kind of backtrack through that, through the stories of what brought us to where we are today. You know, it's like, yeah, we have been together a long time. We've got lots of cool stories, you know?
Yeah. All three of us awesome. Here have been with our partner. I've known Chase longer than I haven't known him. I, you know, started dating at 15, 16 years old.
That's right. Yeah. Just like Uncle Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same, right? High schoolers.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I forgot you guys are the same. Yeah. And then time apart and then we back together and all that fun stuff. Yeah. Yep. I think that's the only way that it could happen, but we digress. The reason I want to bring this up is the qualifications of the two of you are exceptional. And, you know, Uncle Doctor, you are, as I've said this before, if we have a third kid, you're going to be there. You're going to be there. There's no doubt about it. You know that you're going to be there.
Pencil it in.
You've helped quite a few of our amazing friends through their pregnancies and even with delivery and things of that nature. And there's great things that you're doing. And there's a lot of shit that's not going great. And we've talked about that the last time you were on the podcast. There's just so much in the current model that is steering people the wrong way and maybe not the best solution for health. And we actually were just texting each other the other day because of a friend who was told some shit during, you know, her checkups about what is most likely the case, what's going to happen and what they're going to need to do and that kind of stuff. And I think you see this more than I do. I mean, obviously I'm in an age now where quite a few of my friends are getting pregnant and, you know, everyone was married 3 or 4 years ago and now's the time you get pregnant. So like, we're starting to see a lot of this and most people don't really think, I mean, there's like bubbles within bubbles where they're like, yeah, we found this amazing doula and we're going to do a home birth. You know, like we didn't even do that our first time, but I think about that. Those few people are really few and far between. And the people that are relying on standard of care, even if they want to do a home birth, you have so much pressure from the outside. Well, my mom said it's a good idea for me to go, and we have really good insurance. And just for the first time, and fill in the blank, they get steered a different direction. So I would love for you guys to break down, because this is what's cool, is you guys have you've teamed up together. Well, I'll let you guys tell me about the team. Sorry, I just had a call from the wife. But you guys tell me about the teammate, the teamsmanship, and what's happening right now. And then I had to stop you, Mimi, when you were going in, because you were getting into stats and all sorts of shit. And I was like, this is exactly what we're gonna have on the podcast. So why don't you just lay it out for me? Yeah. Because a lot of people, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe let me start, because there's a couple programs circulating now, and Kyle Tosh has been privy to this first program that I put out, which was around pregnancy, postpartum, and childbirth. And frankly, I thought I would be focusing on pregnancy and childbirth. That's what I do for 90% of the time. But then Mimi and I both were getting tons of messages around cervical cancer screening, this HPV thing, you know, which is this kind of puzzle now that we're all, I think, rightfully questioning what the hell is a virus in the first place. And I was like, okay, we got to go in and build another program. So Mimi, of course, has been focusing on HPV, and especially through the lens of her product and Intel HCC. And I was like, what's your experience been with it? And she's like, people are coming back from their OBGYNs having no information, and they're finding my content and then actually doing the work, lifestyle modification, some of these modifiable risk factors in order to clear their HPV, like to get a negative swab, I mean. And they're not having to go to the doctor to get these excision procedures where we lop off your, you know, one of your sex organs, your cervix, and then just hope for the best later, right? So it actually is relevant to pregnancy and postpartum conversation. But frankly, I wasn't looking to build another program. It's just that there's such a need out there and a lot of misinformation circulating. So I'll start there. The program is called Clear and Free. Mimi, why don't you set, like, you're just so articulate in how you describe the program. And then we get into some of the data and why we put this together.
Yeah, no, that was great. So Nathan mentioned it's called Clear and Free, and this is a holistic solution to persistent HPV, which stands for, if maybe some of your listeners aren't aware, stands for human papilloma virus. And this is the virus said to be the link, I'll say that we don't really know for sure, but what the consensus is right now, that this virus can lead to cervical cancer in some women. It is present in about 99% of cervical cancers as they find this human papilloma virus. So they're making that link. So this is a really important topic, but it's one that's not talked about enough, in my opinion, because when you look at the statistics of who this affects, it's literally like anyone and everyone who's having sex. So 80 to 90% of people who are sexually active are going to be exposed to human papillomavirus in their life. But here's the super fun kicker. There is no simple FDA-approved test for men. There's only a test for women. That's the annual, or, you know, you go in every couple years to get a pap screen from your gynecologist, and they will likely do an HPV test depending on your age and risk factors and things like that. And so the woman is the one that's getting the test. And oftentimes that comes back positive. She is now the one that has to wear that burden of diagnosis and figuring this thing out. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of help when it comes to conventional medicine. I think that it has its place, of course, really good with, you know, emergency care, surgery, procedures, diagnostics, of course. But when it comes to, like, okay, now that I'm diagnosed positive, what the hell do I do? How can I fix this? What can I do in my life to help my body do what it knows how to do, which is heal? And there's not a lot of education when it comes to gynecology for women who are now diagnosed positive. So they go home, they go to Dr. Google, they look up HPV, that it can lead to cervical cancer. Now they've got the C word in their mind, laying in bed at night, wondering how they're going to talk to their boyfriend about this. Is it going to affect fertility? Is it going to, you know, what is this going to mean for my future children? Maybe I am pregnant right now. There's a whole slew of questions that come up for this woman. And there's really no help coming from conventional medicine. So over the last 4 years, I have been a resource for women who have been diagnosed positive for HPV, you know, coming alongside them, being a safe place for them to just share. Sometimes I'm the only person that they've even shared this news with, because it is a sexually transmitted infection, there is a good amount of shame that goes along for a lot of people with this diagnosis. I hear words like dirty. I hear words like I feel betrayed by my body. I feel gross. No one's going to want to date me. Like these kind of stories that women are telling themselves, and they're just on their own. And so I have created my Instagram to be a place where any woman in the world can find me through hashtags or whatever and get some answers. And so I've been doing that over the last 3 to 4 years. And then about a year ago, Nathan came to me after seeing some of these like horrible stories, and we got together. I'll never forget it. You sent me that voice memo like, hey, do you want to create an HPV course together? Like, I think we need to do this together. And it was an immediate full body fuck yes for me, because this is not only are you like, of course, you're my soul brother, and I absolutely would, you know, you'd be the only person that I would do this course with, honestly. But I have been talking to probably thousands of women at this point who feel alone and they have no one. And I knew that this was something that the world absolutely needed. So that's what we did over the last year. We created this program to be a holistic place, a safe container for women to get educated and to align themselves with a lifestyle that facilitates rapid clearing of HPV.
I love that. I want to jump in here, but I know I can see Uncle Doctor's chomping at the bit. I just do want to add, you know, the reason I wanted to have you guys on was because, you know, 80% male listeners here. But most of us date, most of us have daughters, some of us all of a sudden mothers, you know. And when I was growing up, this wasn't a thing. We're like, hey, we're gonna figure this out, and then preemptively, this is our route, right? Like you talk about the benefits of Western medicine through surgery and things of that nature. But it's you know, if all you have is a hammer, it's your only tool, then everything you see is a nail, right? That's what it becomes. Yeah. And so understanding like there's, yeah, exactly. So I'm seeing this now as such a really big trend in people when they have this diagnosis, or if they have higher likelihood of this thing in the end, let's just cut it out right now. And that's being safer in the long run. Right. And I don't have a medical background, but I do have a background in Rudolf Steiner's understanding of the body, and understanding that there is no single piece of this energetic machine that was made incorrectly and without purpose. All of it serves purpose. Right. And I know you have a much deeper background in that, Nathan. So I'm just curious, you know, like I'm not plugged in the same way. That's why I talked about bubbles within bubbles. We homeschool. I have two functional medicine doctors that I can text message and shoot ideas in addition to you, right? So like we're in a situation most people are not in, and I haven't seen a regular doctor, I think, since I fought last, like 15, 16 years ago for a physical. So it's not the same worldview, but seeing like this, there's so much traction now, especially due to social media, of a movement to like really cut things out ahead of time before they become an issue. And that in and of itself is an issue.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that this topic is really, really important for a number of reasons, but it's, you know, to bring the men into the conversation, this is not like, let's talk about the fertility thing first off. Like, we've got declining fertility rates. Most doctors like me, they're going to have the man and the woman come in, they're going to do a semen analysis. And if you have 15 million or more sperm per cc of your semen, the man is going to be dismissed from the conversation. But like, listen, 50 years ago, to have 15 million, only 15 million sperm per cc would have been considered nearly sterile. So the men, I think there's an opportunity for the male listeners to really, you know, to reimagine what is your role here. If you have a female, like romantic partner who has a cervix, has a vagina, and has ovaries and all of this, if that's the case, like, you have to be a part of this conversation. Optimizing your health is also going to optimize the health of your partner and to ultimately optimize the health of your pregnancy and your childbirth experience. This HPV thing, we could get into the fuckery around the virus thing because I think that's actually an important conversation. But frankly, this is not like a death sentence. That's how OBGYN is portraying almost everything. Right? You get this bad lab value or you get this abnormal screen and now suddenly you're looking at death around the corner. And that simply isn't true. In fact, this is, if anything, an invitation for you to start realizing that, okay, you're having a hard time integrating the message of an external messenger. Let's call it an exosome, call it a virus, call it whatever you will. If you're struggling to integrate that, there's something going on upstream in your health. This is an invitation for you to get your health dialed in. A lot of the women who have these persistent HPV screen swabs that are coming back also have abnormal, you know, issues within their gut dysbiosis. They get recurrent vaginal infections. They get recurrent UTIs. You know, so this is an invitation to really start looking a little bit more closely through the lens of what you hold so near and dear, Kyle. Whether you're a man or a woman, if something is off, you're like low sperm count, low motility, persistent HPV, whatever. Some invitation there. There's some message for you. And that's what Mimi and I are really, really trying to encourage people to accept some of these screening results as.
Yeah, I love it. Keep rolling here. This is good.
Well, I want to add to that, you know, this is, you teed that up perfectly because it's something that we talk about very early on in our program. And I bring this up with basically every woman that I talk to who's in this position. This is a signal. This is the pain teacher showing up. This is an opportunity. And we all get these opportunities to evaluate our life in different packages. And, you know, Paul Check would talk about the pain teacher showing up. And it starts out as a whisper. And that could be your first positive test is just a whisper like, hey, something's wrong. I'm communicating to you the best way that I know how, which is through symptoms and testing and things like that. And if we listen to that pain teacher early on, obviously better earlier than later, we have a chance to respond and actually learn about our body and actually become more healthy because of this negative circumstance that, you know, really opened our eyes and woke us up to, hey, something's off here. Maybe I'm not getting enough sleep. Maybe I'm not getting enough food. That's a huge, huge trend, a theme that I see and hear with the women that I speak to is, you know, we've, as millennial women, we've been sold, and then some, we've been sold this lie that eating less is better, that we just constantly need to shrink ourselves, and that working out 7 days a week like a man is going to be your best bet to, you know, get rid of every ounce of fat on your body and be desirable. Like, that's the lie that we've been sold. And in the meantime, women have been undernourishing themselves and their bodies, their tissues, their cells for years and years and years. I know because I was one of them. I can spot it like that. And we have to graduate from that line of thinking and get into a place where we can like actually nourish our bodies. And not only from a food standpoint, but from a movement standpoint, from a, hey, what am I telling myself standpoint? So these are the types of things that we address with the women that we work with that, and men, by the way, we have men in our program, BT Dubs. This is not just, you know, oftentimes I say like, it's not woman papillomavirus. This is not, you know, called woman papillomavirus. It's human papillomavirus. It can affect all of us and it does affect men. We can get into some of the more nuances of like the diagnostics and the statistics and things like that if you want. But this does affect men. It's not just a woman thing. And, you know, the men in our program are an example of that this is not just a woman's issue, but also, you know, this, that men play a huge role not only in their own health and understanding how to clear it if it pops up, or, you know, their partner has HPV. If you're having sex with this woman, there's a good chance that your body is also going through the same process of fighting, clearing, whatever you want to call it. So this is definitely not just a woman's issue. And I think the more that story perpetuates, the more women are going to be isolated and in greater danger of not getting the information and education that they need.
Hell yeah. Thank you for that clarity, buddy. Let's dive into testing and things of that nature. I'm not one to shy away from deep diving fuckery and really exposing some of the ridiculous arcane methods in which we determine someone to be sick or healthy. Break this down for us, because you know we I don't even want to mention the name of it and have this taken down from YouTube. But there was a thing just a few years ago where they did a really incorrect way of testing, and it was proven to be a really incorrect way of testing. They didn't prove a damn thing, and yet everybody's still like, "Well, I got to go get tested." With what? For what? What are we doing? Right. So break this down. I wonder if there's something similar going on here, or if not, tell me the differences between and really what they're laying out for people.
I think immediately before doing, I think it's helpful for us to reframe this whole virus thing. You know, we act like these non-living snippets of nucleic acid are out to get us, right? That's what happened during the period that you're talking about. And it's what continues to happen in a variety of ways within the Western medical model. So every once in a while, every 3 to 5 years, a woman's going to go in and get a pap smear, which is a collection of cells in the cervix, and they're going to get a swab that looks for the presence of a high-risk strain of HPV. If any of those is abnormal, you might find yourself going back more frequently, getting painful biopsies, and then you may end up actually getting an excisional procedure where we lop off the top of your cervix, which has so many nerve endings. There's a lot of women who actually are now exploring cervical orgasm because there's as many nerve endings there, if not more, than you would find in the other areas that we consider your erogenous zones. So that's the general pathway. But let's stop for a second and let's ask about this virus thing, right? So as most people would tend to believe based on what they've been told by the media, their OBGYN, by their family practitioner, their midwife, whatever, HPV causes cervical cancer. Well, let's look at some really, really interesting work that has gone into viruses. Luc Montagnier, who was an MD, PhD, he just recently died. He was awarded the Nobel Prize for his discovery, so to speak, of the nucleic acid that we call HIV, which leads to this condition of AIDS. A lot of that has been drawn into question as well. But most interestingly, this guy took HIV in nucleic acid form in a vial. And then he took this really, really sensitive microphone system and he started recording the frequency emitted. Very, very inaudible to us, to our ears. But he started recording the frequency of the atoms that make up this nucleic acid structure. Nucleic acid is really the foundational building block, so to speak, of our genetic material, viruses, etc. So he was able to record this, Kyle. He was able to record that there's this frequency coming from these test tubes of intact, what we would call HIV, human immunodeficiency virus. He took those recordings and sent them across Europe. And Italian researchers, who probably thought this guy's nuts, but he's a Nobel Prize winner, they received the audio file and then took vials that had nucleotides, so the building blocks for nucleic acid, as well as polymerase, which is the enzyme that puts these pieces together, played it to these vials. Those vials, magically, within the vials, HIV appeared. So we have a really, really interesting dilemma here, right? If this is a sexually transmitted disease, that perpetuates this notion that viruses are out to get us. But what if there is a co-resonance with somebody who's actually got a vibrational frequency that manifests something that looks like disease, and you have sex with them, and you're now in co-resonance with them? Are you now going to manifest this same, quote, disease that the other person had? And then when we take a probe, we just detect there's this little snippet of nucleic acid and we're going to call it HIV. So this is where I think we're starting to head in our understanding of viruses. Is this actually the bad guy, or is this the consequence of cells being sick and breaking down and releasing these little fragments of some of our genetic material, which you can call whatever you want? You can call it a football. I detected a football. Doesn't matter what you call it. You detected something there, and people who are healthy do not have that signal being detected. So that's the first thing. Now, if you go back to that whole sequence of events that has to happen before you get a hysterectomy because of, you know, perpetually abnormal pap smears, this process takes years to decades to develop. So from the time that we get that initial HPV signal showing up to the time where you develop actual cervical cancer is decades. And this is even what the OBGYNs will say. It takes decades. So what is happening in the meantime? What are you doing to answer the call of the pain teacher in order to now take this invitation to get your health in order? So the OBGYNs, the midwives, the even a lot of functional practitioners are not actually giving you like this sort of 15,000 foot view that, hey, you've got that abnormal test, you've got abnormal screen, whatever. What is happening from the time that you get that until we're taking painful chunks out of your cervix for the purpose of, you know, biopsying and diagnosing you now with some degree of neoplasia, like abnormalities in the cells. That is real. But is this signal, is this HPV the problem, or is this telling you there's a problem upstream? And that's where we can start to really do some great work with people.
I love it. Yeah, I'm just thinking of the last conversation I had with Dr. Thomas Cowan on this podcast, and just right in that line, you know, really in that line of thinking. But I do love the, I mean, that's the first time I've heard of the frequency stuff, which actually makes perfect sense, you know, that we'd come into co-resonance with this thing being next to it. And I'm just kidding. That's obviously something that I want to rabbit hole, because it's jogging a whole host of thought processes. It also would make sense why something like, you know, Royal Rife's equipment that worked around the wrist on energetics and frequency within the body could work for various reasons, from common cold, you name it. But yeah, I like the breakdown. And I like the breakdown for a few reasons. One thing is too, you know, I remember when I was 23andMe first came out, the FDA allowed them to state, you know, that you have 5x stronger chance of this disease, 10x stronger that disease. You look really good here, that kind of thing. And then the FDA said, no, you can't. That's too much information to give. You can't tell the public that. And after that, you didn't have to outsource it. So if you were privy, you could go to like foundmyfitness.com with Rhonda Patrick and outsource your raw genetic data. And then she would break that down for you and say, but the constant conversation, anybody I've ever done this with, and I'm sure for the same as for you, when we're looking at, you know, what is your genetics actually telling you? None of those are death sentences. You know, like I have like 5 times higher likelihood of obesity, type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's. And like for the folks that aren't watching, I'm never going to have obesity. I'm never going to have Alzheimer's. I'm never going to have any of this stuff, because all of those, there are lifestyle choices that lead to these diseases. And I think the same can be said for any one of these things. It's not like, oh man, I pulled the shitty genetic card, I'm going to be screwed in 20 years. And so we almost have to rewrite the story that's being told, because a lot of the times when you go see a doctor, they'll say, sorry, it's just genetic, or sorry, it's just this thing.
Yeah. Or they say, you know, women in this position, after they get diagnosed as positive, they, you know, oftentimes do ask, well, is there anything that I can do to help, you know, my body? Is there anything that I can do? They are inquisitive here. And oftentimes the gynecologist will say, no, there's nothing you can do. Just come back in a year. Sometimes they will say, just try to be healthy and, oh, you know, don't smoke. That's the extent of their guidance here. And so these women are hungry. There's this intuitive nudge towards like, hey, what can I do? And that's the best thing that a patient or client can ask, right? What can I do? Not what can you do for me to fix this for me? That's not what they're asking. It's, is there anything that I can do? That's the best question that they can be asking. And that's the question that Nathan and I are answering in this Clear and Free program. And I'm getting sidetracked a little bit here off of the viruses and frequency, but I think that this is one of those instances, no matter what is causing this thing, whether it's a byproduct or whether it's the root cause, whatever, if it's none of those things and it's something that we don't even know yet, we know that it's a signal of some kind that, hey, things are not optimal. And our goal is to actually get back into balance in all of these different areas and these different lifestyle modalities, nutrition, mindset, movement. If we're in balance, if we're in that harmonious frequency with nature, there's a good chance, like you're talking about, that these genetics, these genes are never actually going to be turned on in the first place. And so, you know, we're trying to find that frequency, that balanced frequency of like, not too much, not too little. I swear that mantra, I just like, you know, could be on my headstone, because it really does apply to like everything. Like, cut out everything that, you know, Paul Cech educates on. Like, that is almost the nugget. The nugget is not too much, not too little. And that's everything in our life.
Let me, Kyle, let me add something to that. What Mimi just said. You brought up Tom Cowan earlier. So, you know, Tom's got a couple really good books out there, and there was one researcher in particular that he had focused on, Tom Seyfried, who wrote a book called Cancer as a Metabolic Disease. He's been on Peter Attia's program. He's a PhD at Boston College that focuses on the gene-environment relationship of cancer. So when we hear this cancer word, everybody says, oh, it runs in my family. Well, maybe, except your genes are not actually the drivers of disease. Your genes are really at the they're under the influence of the environment. And in order to demonstrate this, there was actually, I believe it was a research group out in I want to say it was in Israel. They took a group of healthy cells and they took a group of cancerous cells and they swapped their nuclei. Do you want to guess what happened? What happened to the healthy cell that received a cancerous nucleus?
Cancer?
No, it stayed healthy.
The reason why I guess that is because the one where it does switch over is with the fecal transplant, right? You take a fat mouse, you pull the poop from a fat mouse, give it to a healthy mouse, then the healthy mouse will make poor food decisions and actually get fat, and then the fat mouse that's given the athletic mice shit will actually start to make better decisions on food that goes in his body and get ripped.
Right. Well, so that actually
depends on which avenue we're entering, I guess.
Well, but what you're doing with those mice is you're not switching their genes. You're switching the environment that is playing into how those genes are expressed. So if you,
there we go.
So back to that experiment, the cancer cell that got the healthy nucleus stays cancerous. So what, you know, Cowan and some of these other guys that have been very, very thoughtful during this whole thing that happened over the past couple of years is, wait, well, hold on. He's been talking about it for years, but Thomas Seyfried, his whole body of work has really looked at what environment manifests cancer and which people have a propensity to develop cancer. And if you were to put a more healthy environment around that person's nucleus, let's say, would they still develop cancer? And the answer is probably not for as many people as are getting cancer. So to take a step back further, okay, so what is the environment around the nucleus? It is the majority of the cell, which is comprised in this plasma-like structure within the cytoplasm of the cell. And whatever you put into that or around that cytoplasm is going to effectively direct the genes as to how they want to express themselves. So this is why, no matter, even if you have a genetic connection to some disease, it really is an invitation to take a close look at the environment that you're putting yourself in, from the six nutritional principles to directed supplementation to actually how you're showing up in the world. Are you resonating love and light? Are you, you know, resonating hatred and despair? You know, and this actually really, really matters, I think, as to what is going to happen to you long term. So getting back to our whole cervical cancer conversation, yeah, okay, so maybe you have a high risk of getting cancer based on the fact that you've been smoking like a chimney since you were 15 and because you've been eating Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. Does that mean you're determined to get cancer? No, it means that it's time for you to start dialing some of this in, especially if you want to have kids and be fertile and you know, go through a healthy period of menopause if you're a woman, right? If you want to still have libido whenever you're 50, still want to get, like, be able to have awesome sex when you're 30. Nowadays, like, you know, kids in their late 20s are going on, you know, what's it called? The bone.
Viagra.
Viagra. So if any of those things are present, it's
that's just, what I heard. I heard it's called Viagra.
Yeah, that's right. A little birdie told me. You came up with that way too fast. So, I think it's also relevant to bring up the fact that, you know, Mimi, you don't have children yet, but Kyle, you've got two kiddos. I've got two kiddos. And at some point, they may choose to go see a doctor in college or something, and they're going to be offered this vaccine called Gardasil. I think we should talk about the fuckery around Merck and Vioxx and Gardasil, because the way that this was marketed, they like basically created a market out of nothing as a Hail Mary. Should we get into that?
Yes, please. You go for it.
Okay. So Merck is probably best known for the tens of millions of dollars that it would hang out in the mid-90s, early 2000s for a drug called Vioxx, which you've talked about on your podcast before, Kyle. This was a drug that was meant to be an alternative to ibuprofen as an NSAID. It's a non-opioid, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. But then it was found, after it had been approved by the FDA and everything, had been found to be causing heart attacks in especially young people. So they pulled it off the market, and Vioxx, this catastrophe in these sort of bad outcomes resulted in Merck having to pay out, shelling out tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. So they were going to go broke, and they had one shot at fixing this, and they threw a Hail Mary and created a campaign called the Be One Less campaign, which I remember I was in college and I started seeing these posters pop up in doctor's offices. It was the really, really heartfelt commercial ads. I think there was a Super Bowl ad whenever they launched this that was compelling parents to get their children vaccinated now as early as age 9 against cervical cancer. And so it was proposed that taking this Gardasil shot was, you know, before that your child is sexually active, is going to prevent them from getting cervical cancer. But it didn't turn out that way. In fact, the data that was provided to the FDA to get this vaccine approved was never controlled against a placebo. Instead, the placebo had some viral, you know, it didn't have viral particle in it, but it had an emulsifying agent called polysorbate 80. It had an amorphous aluminum hydroxyphosphate sulfate, which is a proprietary aluminum salt that when added to the vial with polysorbate 80 is now able to cross the blood-brain barrier. And so, of course, the data presented to the FDA was, hey, our drug, our injectable is no less safe than placebo, because they both had the same number of adverse events, which tells us that it wasn't the HPV viral particle or whatever you want to call it that was actually the harmful agent. It was all this other junk that was in the vial, specifically the aluminum salt. So now what has happened is over time, we have found that there's been a number of vaccine injuries as a result of Gardasil 9. There's a great book, HPV Vaccine on Trial, which is about 500 pages of it just wrecks you to read what happened here. There's ongoing litigation in all 50 states due to a lot of these neurologic injuries, as well as what's called negative efficacy, whereby if you've already been exposed to HPV and we give you the shot, you have a higher likelihood of developing these precancerous cervical cancer lesions down the road. So now Merck is in deep, murky waters again. I can't believe I didn't come up with that sooner. Merck is in murky waters again because their vaccine has never been shown to be efficacious because, of course, you can't, if cervical cancer takes 10, 20 years to develop, they're not going to look at this drug for safety and efficacy for 20 years. They're going to just look at these precancerous lesions, the vast majority of which will go away by themselves with adequate lifestyle support in nutrition and sleep and everything else. So not only is their Be One Less campaign a complete, like, it's completely fraudulent because they never actually demonstrated to the FDA that it could prevent cervical cancer, but also it's doing quite a bit of harm because it was never placebo controlled. In those placebo vials, they called them faux-cebos, there was an aluminum salt, which now with the addition of polysorbate 80 can cross into the brain. And when you look at Alzheimer's, autistic people, people who have lived with these diseases for their whole lives, there are concentrations of aluminum in their brains posthumously on autopsy. So Merck is in deep shit once again. They can't seem to get this whole safety and efficacy thing right. And I think it just, you know, I think it just should give us all pause as to the role of our big pharma. You know, these pharmaceutical companies, they don't seem to really have the public health interest in mind. They're just interested in making back the $100 million they lost for their Vioxx lawsuit. And you see this playing out over and over and over again. So this illusion of safety provided by the vaccine actually is potentially doing far more harm than good. Your risk of getting cervical cancer in a high endemic nation like in East Africa is lower than the likelihood of you having a serious adverse reaction to the Gardasil 9 vaccine, which again is being recommended to every child as early as age 9 if you're a part of the immune system, which is why Mimi and I are out here just advocating the hell out of this. Like, do not do that. That is probably, well, don't take my word, but I would recommend you at least look into some of this before you go and get your child inoculated against something that is probably not even going to hurt them in the future.
Yeah. Something I want to add too, Nathan, when you're talking about neuroinflammation, it's no secret, I think, that how we all feel about excessive vaccines and that a child has to have these things in 72 doses in order to be healthy. Like, it's just nuts, crazy. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but recently, you know, about a month or two ago, we interviewed on our show a functional neurologist who works with children who basically behavioral issues, ADHD, ADD, autism, you know, can't focus in school. They're being medicated and they just are having a really rough go at a very young age in life, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. And he basically only works with kids. And off air, I didn't want to put him on the spot, but off air, I asked, you know, what do you think about vaccines? What are you seeing with these kids that have neuroinflammation that you're treating with hyperbaric oxygen and manual adjustments and balance boards and vibe plates and lasers and red light? He's reversing these conditions by working with these kids in these ways. And so he has a full medical history of what's going on with these kids. And he said, honestly, this was off air. He said, honestly, vaccines terrify me. With what I know about neuroinflammation and what I've seen in kids who are fully vaccinated against all these things, he's like, I haven't treated one patient that hasn't been vaccinated. He hasn't treated one, you know, unvaccinated kid. And it's I bring this up only to show that it's not just us that are like, oh, you know, we are not really in alignment with vaccines. It's people like functional neurologists that are seeing kids day in and day out that, like, there is something here that we need to be looking at. And I know all of us are here, but that the greater population needs to be looking at, because kids are, you know, some of the victims here. And when you're giving a child a vaccine at age 9, 10, 11 for something that they might not even encounter until they're 21, 22, even in that conversation, is it still going to be quote unquote effective by the time that they even start having sex? And so it's just, there's so many questions around this vaccine. And in my opinion, the risks far outweigh any sort of benefit that you could see in clinical research. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up that functional neurologist point of view, because that was even more eye-opening for me talking to him. And by the way, you guys would both love him. He is an absolute baller and y'all should both interview him.
I was going to ask you, I want to get his info, because, you know, my kids, we never gave a single shot to. We read Dissolving Illusions by Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, read Thomas Kahn's book with Sally Fallon Morell, The Nourishing Traditions book of Baby and Child Care. Both of those I think are just absolutely fantastic. One, of course, you know, Dissolving Illusions, focusing mainly on each one of these vaccines, when it came out, you know, where was the disease at when it came out? Most of these diseases were gone by the time the vaccine was developed. What were the problems we've seen with the vaccine since then? It's a deep dive. And it's also like, I mean, you get 3 or 4 chapters in and you're like, oh, I see how this goes. Like, every single one of these, I can see how this goes. And it speaks to the time that, you know, what life was like during the Industrial Revolution and when a lot of these diseases came online, where, you know, you had 15 people in a single room in New York with no sunlight and one poop chute, literally a shitter where you'd shit and it would go into an alleyway, and every other room had the same shit. The poop chute would just shoot out into the alley. And when the rains would come, it would flood human feces ankle high in the fucking streets. Or like in Chicago, where they had a giant pig farm, one of the first factory farms, right next to, go ahead, Uncle Doctor, he's got to take a leak, and I'll take a pause here too. But the pig farm right next to Chicago, same deal. The big rains come and all this pig shit of them staying, you know, these aren't healthy free range animals. They're shoulder to shoulder. They're living on food that's not designed for their diet. And that washes in. And then we see a whole host of things come up from that. Both of those books turned me on. The documentary Vaxxed, we've had Del Bigtree on my podcast. He's absolutely incredible. The documentary Vax, we'll link to that in the show notes. That'll blow your fucking mind. If this is your first time, it's not your first time you're listening to this podcast, hearing about these things, but if you really want to know why I said no to any of them, it was movies like Vax and it was reading these books. And also having been around quite a few kids who were injured, you know, and seeing that, you know, even cousins, different, my father's side of the family is very Western medicine. There's medical doctors, there's nurses, and people can't seem to connect the dots if they had a hand in doing that to someone they love. They'll never see it that way. And I understand, like, yeah, like I refuse to look at that evidence if it meant that I hurt my child. But while you're, you know, before you get to that point, you can take this information in and make a much more clear-headed decision. And so what if you got to fight the uphill battle of not being able to put your kids in public school? So what if you have to have the fucking uphill battle of telling your parents, this is how we're raising our kids. And I'm not blaming you for the way you did with me, but that was not the way to health. This is not the way that we need to engage life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're better off, if we're talking about risk, you're better off in every regard, just teaching your child how to live healthy, how to listen to their body, how to nourish their body, you know, teaching them about immunity and sleep and sunlight and grounding and nutrition and, you know, healthy relationships. Like, not only is it going to help them to clear HPV if they ever come into contact with it in their adult life, but also it's going to help them in every other avenue of life. We're talking about multifactorial versus potentially one in the vaccine, being like, okay, this might prevent maybe versus multifactorial, that's going to permeate into every aspect of their life. Like, it's a no-brainer to me, but I know that, and to be honest, like, I haven't felt like this for very long. The reason why I even dug into vaccines at all was because women were coming to me 5 years ago about this. When I started educating on HPV, they would say, you know, okay, my doctor recommended the vaccine, even though I tested positive already, you know, should I do it? What do you think? And I never give medical advice, but it was enough people that I was like, I need to learn about this myself, because I can't just be spewing opinions when I haven't actually dug into it. And so once I did, but previously, you know, as a dental hygienist, and, you know, I by degree, I'm a registered dental hygienist. And so I have worked with patients and clients in a clinical setting. And I always had to get my updated flu shot to be in the clinic, you know, like, I was fully vaccinated as a kid. Like, this is not something that I was even raised with. This is something that I had to teach myself about and learn alongside, you know, Nathan as well, because people are curious about this. And it is really unfortunate that, you know, Nathan spoke to the negative efficacy. Like, there is some research showing that there is negative efficacy, meaning that if you got the vaccine, you actually are more likely to develop something like cervical dysplasia. And so the fact that women are being recommended this by their doctor after already being exposed, after already having the virus, when on the CDC website itself, I have my issues with them, but on the CDC website itself, the main page for HPV, it says this vaccine, the Gardasil vaccine, will not clear an existing infection. So why the fuck are doctors recommending it to women who already have this when there is research showing negative efficacy? Like, it absolutely is mind-boggling to me. And I'll let Nathan jump in here on why, you know, can you speak to that? Like, in school, did they teach you that you should, you know, give the vaccine to women who are positive? Like, what was that like? What was that conversation like?
Well, I don't think we learned any of that in medical school. That was probably like residency. But frankly, you know, we have to bear in mind who's paying for the medical school curriculum. You know, when I last looked, it was something like over $1 billion had been invested by big pharma into medical education. So I went to Temple University. It's one of the most expensive schools in the country. Not that it's the best. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the best, but a good school. And it was about, when I was there, what, 12, 15 years ago, I don't even know now, it was $60,000 per year just for tuition. So they're getting that money from us students, but then the pharmaceutical companies are paying for the building and the facilities. And we had this beautiful medical school. I mean, like really like a big crystal chandelier and this arty thing hanging from the, you know, in the lobby. I mean, it was like this really big, beautiful building. Frankly, in 4 years, you've got first 2 years are really spent just studying pharmaceuticals. Like, how do we use medication safely to treat disease? Safely, there's the word. And that includes the vaccines. So, you know, it's something for everybody to bear in mind that doctors are not incentivized to think critically. I'm a pretty unusual doctor that I'm like, hey, this doesn't sound right. Let's go deeper. Let's go down the rabbit hole. That's why we're all friends. Yeah. Most most doctors don't do that. And they were never selected to do that. You don't get into medical school by being a critical thinker. You get into medical school by answering questions right on an exam that's been posed to you by an examiner that expects you to answer in the way that they want you to answer. So I may have finished last in my med school class. It doesn't make me less, you know, competent or stupid or anything. I just ruffled people's feathers because I was like, well, I know that's what you want me to say, but that doesn't seem to really make any sense. And they're like, we can't fire him because he knows the answer. He just won't tell us the answer we want to hear. And that's where this whole vaccine thing, the virus thing and whatnot, if you're to question this, this is like dogma. This is like saying that, you know, Jesus Christ never actually was on the cross if you're a Catholic. And it's really, really that kind of strict as to what we're expected to do within the box of medicine.
Yeah. It's almost like, man, from the law of one perspective, the positive and negative polarities, you almost have to like give them a little round of applause for how deep-seated these programs are and how much effort it takes to extract one doctor from the medical matrix. So like, again, hats off to you, Nathan, because you're going against every grain. But damn, it's like, holy crap, snaps for the negative polarity here. Like they really got their shit together to keep this really deep seated, not only in doctors, but also people across America, I think, and the world rather.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I mean, thankfully for people like you, Kyle, and you're in are the circles that we run in, I think people are at least willing to say, that doesn't sound right, right? The next step of that, of course, is to say, I really don't know. And once you can admit that you don't know, that opens up the opportunity to learn a lot more. So I hope anybody listening here is, I hope I can be super clear and say, listen, I don't know. What we're being told absolutely is not panning out. And now we can start the conversation. These conversations need to evolve a little bit further, I think, instead of us saying, for sure, this individual researcher or this individual expert or MD or whatever has it right. It's probably not. There's probably a third side to that story. But if we're not allowed to ask questions, we end up seeing what happened in the past couple of years where people are getting their licenses stripped and their credentials taken away and they're deplatformed and all of this. And that, to me, is antithetical to the scientific process in and of itself.
No doubt. Well, and at least there are people though that risk, you know, getting deplatformed and getting the medical license taken away. We need that too.
Yeah.
Certainly. I think right now when this launches there, by the time this is out, Ben Stewart and Aubrey Marcus just did an excellent mini documentary called Unsafe and Ineffective. I'm sure you can guess what it's about. I'll link to that in the show notes for people. I don't know how long it's probably not going to stay on YouTube very long, so we'll have it up on Rumble. Jose, make sure you don't link the YouTube one because it'll be long gone by the time this airs. But yeah, I think we're at a point now where we really know enough to continue to ask questions, and I really do. You know, I clap my hands for everyone that's like you, Dr. Nathan Riley, because of the fact that you guys have stuck your head out there. You've said, we're not seeing it the same way. And here's the information we're drawing from, like a guy like Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Robert Malone. And I think that's fantastic because then there's some agency. There's no agency in just following what the mainstream narrative tells you to do because it's like school. They're teaching you
what to think,
not how to think, right? And that's exactly what the medicine's doing. There's nobody in Western medicine that's teaching you what health is. They're just teaching you, this is what you put in your body. These are the pills. And when you take them and leave it at that. And so I appreciate the hell out of you guys for doing what you're doing. Is there anything else regarding this? Because, you know, like maybe you guys want to speak to just some of the pregnancy stuff in general that we were talking about, Nathan, you know, as we wrap, just for people, because I think this is a big deal. You know, we got a lot of friends, and if it's not my direct friend, it's a friend's little sister or somebody else, you know, that's getting news and things like that. And I think this is, it's all wrapped up into this one model, which I can poke holes in all day, but I'd love to know different ways.
Yeah. So, you know, for those out there listening, I think that the first question is, you know, when do I have to go see a doctor, right? There is a lot of good reasons to go in for screening, you know, for whatever it is. Like, let's say pap smears or whatever. It's not a death sentence if you get an abnormal pap. It just means, hey, there's something here to work on from a health standpoint. It might be in your gut. It might be, you know, any of the things we talked about. But frankly, apart from getting some occasional screens, if that's your jam, of course, you're going to have to act on a screen if it comes back abnormal. If you're not going to act on it anyways, if you think this is complete baloney, then just there's no reason to go to a doctor. Doctors are there to screen and then to treat disease. The same goes for pregnancy. Doctors who focus on obstetrics and gynecology like me, we're trained to use pharmaceuticals and surgery in order to fix sick people. But just by virtue of being pregnant, you are not a sick person. And birth is not a medical procedure. So if you want the model offered by OBGYNs, then go to your OBGYN. They're going to want to intervene. They're going to want to try to have some sense of control over this process. But frankly, there's a lot of people that are choosing not to do that because they don't even want to get on that path. Once you're on the medical train, it's hard to get off. So if people out there have questions about the pregnancy, childbirth, postpartum, BornFreeMethod.com is where I'm at, offering a program similar to Clear It Clear and Free, but for the pregnancy and postpartum side. And that's for people who want to take radical accountability for their health, for their pregnancy, for their intimate connection with their partner, for the whole childbirth and postpartum experience. That's where they can find them. And that is going to provide you insight from what the medical model would do and what you can do to try to avoid even having to step foot in that system, because once you're there, it's hard to get out. And then from the women's health standpoint, it's kind of the same problem. Like once you're in there and they're throwing around these options to manage things, whether it's a vaccine, whether it's some really shitty lifestyle advice. Like, I mean, I see doctors smoking outside of dialysis centers. That's where the kidney replacement centers. You don't go to the hospital or doctors for lifestyle advice. A lot of them are not even as healthy as you are. So why would you go to the hardware store to buy fresh eggs? You don't go to the hardware store to buy fresh eggs. You go to the grocery store to buy fresh eggs. We're offering fresh eggs at Clear and Free. Like, if that's what you want, you're in the right place. If you want the medical establishment, go there. It's like Mimi and I are not for you. Sarah Rosser is my co-creator on Born Free Method. There are two different paths here. And try to blend the two because I'm in the system. I can reasonably, I think, criticize the system because I'm in there. I've done the biopsies of the cervix. I've done the LEAP procedures. I've done all of this screening. And I still was left scratching my head. Like, so they're going to come back in 6 months because they have an immune dysfunction here on this positive HPV screen. What are we telling them to do in the meantime? And as Mimi said, we might tell them to not smoke, eat healthy, exercise. Like, what the hell does that mean? What does this individual person need in order to harmonize with their surroundings? You don't go to a doctor for that advice because most of them are just as sick as anybody in our U.S. population. I'll just leave it at that. Anything you want to add, Mimi?
Yeah, I just want to add that we also, in Clear and Free, we also provide support to the women in the way of relational support. This is sometimes a really touchy topic within people who are dating, or maybe they have a partner, or maybe they're married. You know, this is, like I've said before, this is not just a woman's issue. And I know you, Kyle, speak to a lot of men. And this is an opportunity because of how common HPV is. This is an opportunity for men to step up and to really provide support from a conscious level, from an intentional standpoint of like, okay, if my partner, my girlfriend, my wife ever gets this you know, positive screen. Who am I? How am I going to show up for her? This isn't a her issue. This is a team issue. And so actually Nathan has, recorded a few lessons in our program, speaking directly to the men. It's like, hey, this is a team effort, and this is how you can show up. And so we try to, you know, make sure that the women feel supported from every angle. That's, physically, obviously, with what can you do on a day-to-day basis, mentally, emotionally, relationally, as I just spoke to, and then spiritual on a frequency level. We've crafted a couple different specific customized guided meditations with frequencies from Ian Morris, developed specifically for different areas of the body, so that these women can come into harmony with these different aspects of their body. Because like I said at the beginning, oftentimes women feel betrayed by their body, and that is the exact last place that you should be in, is feeling betrayed by your body when you're trying to also heal. So we have to create a new story, and that's what also we do inside the program, is we help these women develop a new story that they are telling themselves to aid their hopefully rapid clearing and healing of, you know, HPV and any cervical dysplasia. I could talk about this obviously for hours and hours, but that's a good snapshot of what we try to do. And it's not just all, lifestyle and what we think. It's also, we have 150 citations. I think, Nathan, you can correct me on this number, but it's 150-ish citations of clinical research that we're pulling from. This isn't just like, oh, we think this will be good, we think that will be good. We're also pulling from clinical research on immune intel AHCC, which is a derivative of shiitake mushroom that is the only health supplement that has been proven with clinical research to help eradicate HPV. And it's a mushroom. It comes from mushrooms. There's really no downside. There's no real risk. What'd you say?
I said right on Kyle's shirt, got a Kennedy shirt with a mushroom on it.
Yeah. I know. I'm surrounded by mushrooms here because they are life-changing. And this is one other area where mushrooms are changing lives, which is in the area of HPV. It's a natural option that really has no negative side effects and is baller. It's really, really effective at clearing HPV for women.
So cool. Well, thank you guys so much for your time and leaving us with some of the juice on the inside of it. Obviously, if anyone you know has been affected in this arena, I can't recommend this highly enough, because like I've said, I know you both. A lot of us come from shared backgrounds and differing backgrounds, but you know, we sync up on so much of this stuff, and it's really cool to know that while I've got my head in one avenue and don't even pay it, kind of not even really paying attention to what's happening in the mainstream, as you guys do, you know, you're bridging the gap for a lot of people to come across who, you know, hadn't gone down the rabbit hole ahead of having kids, or hadn't gone down the rabbit hole on many of these things until there is a crisis moment like this that allows them to take the reins back into their hands and say, all right, I'm in control of where my life goes. I'm in control of my health, and I can use this knowledge from these great folks, and I can apply it to my life and change everything well ahead of time.
Amen. Amen. Bridging the gaps, building community. The other thing with our program is we have like a private community and 6 months of coaching calls as well, so that people are fully supported in this. So clearhpv.com. is the website. Kyle, thanks for having us, man. It's good to see you again, and can't wait to drop some snooze with you in a couple months, maybe when I'm back in Austin.
Hell yeah, brother. It'll be great. Well, I love you both, and give your partner some love from me and Tosh as well, and I look forward to chatting with you again.
Thanks, Kyle. Yeah.